quorum, please.
Connor Parker, present.
Stu Martinez, present.
Greg Jones, present.
Kathy Agin, present. Aaron Ward, present.
And Ken Mollex, the mayor, is present. Now it's time for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I think I will ask, Bill, would you mind leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mel. Are there any added agenda items?
The professional services agreement with Anderson Berry to do our studies, you actually authorized me to sign it, but since you're all here, he's here, to let you actually go to him.
Okay.
Then that just makes it safer for me.
We will do that as before number 10, or at number 10. And I will insert one at number 10 also. KITC, KNCP Radio would like to make a short presentation, and we'll do that at the added agenda following the funding request. And with that, item 6 is a consent agenda. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, possible conflict of interest with Wilbur Disturbing.
Okay. Let the record reflect that. Anything else, Council? I'd like to call attention to the minutes for a correction, please. The December 17 minutes. And item 5, and this goes to Councilor Martinez's normal comment. It should read, Councilor Martinez mentioned a possible interest conflict of interest. So we need to insert that word. And with that, and there's no more questions, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
It's been moved.
Seconded.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. It's approved. And at this point in time, we will go to public comment.
Wonderful. I was expecting this a lot later in the agenda. I don't know how that happened. I'm going to maybe try to stay in here. So I wanted to introduce to our city council, but also our community, this 5 for 5 series of community meetings being proposed and scheduled. Not just proposed, they're scheduled now. The fourth Thursday of the month, the first one is scheduled for next Thursday. The idea is to have 5 community series meetings on aspects of our community: public safety, education, economic development, the environment, arts and culture, the different topics that just kind of make a well-rounded community. This is sponsored by Commissioner DeBone, but also the Chamber of Commerce. It's a lunch. We're asking for $20 for the fee for this, but the idea is to pay for a lunch and enjoy a meal together and really have civic engagement on these topics. I'm really excited about it. The first one is going to be public safety. We're bringing our Sheriff's Department in, a couple deputies, and also our fire district, Mike Supkis from Lapine Fire. And then after that, we'll be talking about the next 4 in the series. So next Thursday, it's open for anybody. The idea is Newberry Country also, inclusive of Sun River, Northern Klamath County, and Northern Lake County. And why Northern Klamath and Lake are included is because that's kind of the service area. Those are our neighbors and our friends. But also, if we had more services in the city of Lapine, that's where the citizens would be coming from. To for retail opportunities here in Lapine. So Newberry Country is the theme on this also. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome, Commissioner.
So, I don't know, maybe that wasn't even odd, but I was trying, yeah.
Where is it at?
You were recording.
At the Grange.
Okay.
The Lapine Grange, next Thursday at 11:30 is the first meeting.
What's the date?
The 22nd is the first one, yeah.
Do they need?
Yeah, there's five Thursdays, so it is the fourth.
Do they need to make a reservation or anything?
Reservations at Lapine Chamber of Commerce, 536-9771.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you again. Any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to a discussion of sewer and water master plan updates. Brad Beard, President, Anderson Perry, Engineer. Brad. Join us.
Thank you.
I asked Brad was here yesterday for the public works. The mayor was here, but the rest of you weren't. We talked to them about issues coming up. We thought it was a chance to update you where we're headed to studying our master plans that we've had for a few years, and then updating and including Kegel and kind of looking at the whole Kegel area and that kind of stuff and other improvements in the system. And he brought Brad in the new system, right?
Correct. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate your time. I'm Brad Baird, the president of Anderson Perry and Associates, here to talk to you about your water and sewer system studies, and appreciate the opportunity. This is Brandon Mahon, a civil engineer with Anderson Perry, and he's helping on all these projects, and we'll soon relocate to Central Oregon. I wanted to say we're looking at opening up an office in Central Oregon here in about 3 to 4 months, so.
We've got great office space down here.
Yeah. Everybody we tells us the same thing. Yeah, we have a very large active project in Prineville that's going to bid here this summer, and we'll go on for a couple years, their wetland project, and then, of course, ongoing work with the City of Lapine and a few others. So appreciate these opportunities to help us get established down here. And for those of you, real quick, that don't know anything about Anderson Perry, we were founded in 1975 in La Grande, Oregon. There's about 70 of us. And we have an office in Walla Walla, Washington, too, and complete work, you know, all the way down to Cascade Locks and to Burns and clear into Central Oregon from La Grande and all points in between. So we complete a lot of civil engineering projects for cities and counties and watershed councils, entities of that nature. So we appreciate being here, and I came tonight prepared to briefly talk about your water and sewer system studies, as Rick mentioned. And we're also completing a design of your Wiki uplift station for improvements there based on that small study that we completed recently for you. I'll talk tonight about the studies and try to keep it brief. You've completed water and sewer studies in the past, but it's been a while, and things change and population changes and ideas and concepts change. Part of the reason that these studies have been pushed, so to speak, and Rick's interested in doing them, and Scott is too, is the pressure to potentially add the Kegel area to your systems. And you can imagine adding an area that has the potential for 300 lots to a system. That can be intense on your water and sewer demands. I have to study that and figure out exactly what it'll take. So that's going to be the main focus of these water and sewer system study updates. But the updates will also include looking at your whole system to try to find out what you need to serve Kegel, but also any other expansion that might occur in a reasonable time frame. One of the challenges that all cities have is finding a balance between how much do we plan for in terms of growth and how optimistic do we get versus how realistic do we get, and trying to find a balance between if we need improvements, how much do we take on, because the only people that get to pay for that are the users here right now, and if you make it too big it becomes a burden on them. So it's a balance to try to find the right match for what your system needs versus what you can afford. And so that's what these studies will do. I think Rick's certainly informed you, but was able to secure $40,000 in grant funds to pay for the vast lion's share of this work. So it'll be a good effort to get you a good roadmap for your water and sewer system.
90% of this grant, we were putting $5,000 in, $2,500 from sewer, $2,500 from water, $40,000 from grant. from the state, two $20,000 grants that we applied for.
Nice.
I've got a schedule I'm passing out. This is connected to the agreement, so it's kind of looks like a standalone schedule. But just to run through this real quick.
Thank you.
Fingers aren't working.
Thank you.
You guys
don't
have it?
I got it.
The agreements are being finalized as we speak, and then we'll have initial meetings with the city and collect data on your systems and February and go through the evaluation of all that in February and March. What we like to do during these studies is have work sessions with the way LaPine's set up. I figure that might be with the Public Works Committee, and but however you'd like us to do it, we can do it with them and the council or just whatever you prefer. But the idea of the work sessions, it's very handy if you can to complete a couple of work sessions. And the first work session is where you talk about your existing systems, their capacity, what they can serve, any challenges you're having with them, and to establish a good baseline and agree on how many population growth and what areas you're going to consider for your studies, future service areas, growth, all those things. Get that established, because that establishes the base for where you take the next phase of the study. Then we would go away and evaluate alternatives, working closely with Rick and Scott on what needs you may have to consider for potential improvements if you need them, to look at how to serve those people and areas. Then we come back and present those alternatives to walk through it with you and glean ideas and make sure that it's something that the city council and staff is wants to consider, because you know we're from outside the area and nobody knows your systems better than you, and it's important that you're heavily involved in getting the best product you can for these studies. And once we all agree on alternatives, the solutions for your water and sewer systems, then we go back and wrap up the studies and get them finished draft and send them down for you and agency review. So the work sessions are very critical in our opinion to the success of these studies and having heavy involvement from the city, because you definitely want to get the product and be involved and make sure they're what you want. A study completed without good city engagement's a paperweight. So appreciate your involvement. And Rick and Scott on the prior studies we've done have been wonderful to work with, so I sure don't fear that happening. It's been great to work with them and think through the alternatives and come up with good solutions. And then finalize the studies, and the schedule is laid out between now and about October, which is when the funding deadline is. So this just gives you an idea of how long it would take. They can certainly be expedited, but that's usually a good time frame to make sure there's adequate time to properly study things. So hopefully we'll come out of the end with some great ideas on what it would take for the city to undertake the Cagle area and potential future growth. So looking forward to completing them. Any questions? I had one more thing to show you, but any questions on the studies and the schedule and what we're going to accomplish? Okay. Engineering stuff, not very exciting, is it?
this is going to be discussed further in our meeting on...
No. And that's a good... he's handing that out, maybe, if you want. We'll get confused, and I said to the Public Works, a couple of board members are here from that. Let's not get confused. We're doing lots of public work stuff.
That's why I'm asking.
Very good. One is, and he's going to get into a little of it just because of this document, but these are the engineers that are decide what kind of pipes and how big of pipes and how many pipes and how many people can you serve. They're kind of more the technical part of it. We hired in a rate study. Those guys, they do, but they're not engineers. They're mathematicians. And they take the plans that have been done and start working those numbers and our operating costs. And they really more Excel spreadsheet folks. And they know how sewer and water systems operate and are charged throughout the West. And they've been working on the city of Bend. So they could engineer a pipe. They take what other engineers tell them. And then, you know, based on that. So what we will do is when we have our rate study, we will update it later, like a year from now, with some new numbers if we buy into some new numbers. The problem is this stuff's just always going. In a perfect world, you think, well, you stop to wait till you get it all. But it just kind of keeps moving on all the time. And so we will take some of their stuff. And then one thing about it, the rate study folks, it's in a spreadsheet. You know, you just change the numbers. And it changes, you know, what kind of changes you need in rates. Pretty easy. So what we're really working on the rate study, it has the costs that were in the prior plans, which are 06 and 09, I think, about. And then they have figured in, based on that study with Cagle, then we can do some updates. But the reality is the bulk of it's in there. They'll come up with some new ideas and things. We'll be able to adjust it. But then the other piece of the rate study is how we charge. It wouldn't matter if we put in another pipe, because it's really going from the system we have now to a flow-based system, away from the EDU system that we have, equivalent dwelling unit, is what that stands for, which is a you know, it's more of you pay based on what you use. And as we've talked here, under the EDU system, some people pay for a little and use a lot. Others pay for a lot and use a little. And depending on what side of that equation you're on, you're happy. With the change, you can about guess what's going to happen. You'll have a new group of happy people and a new group of unhappy people. We will have all sides have something new. And they will all analyze it for themselves. Their neighbor might save money, but that won't make them feel better if they're on the losing end. But it's going to be interesting, you got invited, and that is on the 29th.
1:30.
Thursday, 1:30. And you should have called Patty or emailed Patty to let her know if you're coming, because we've invited the Planning Commission, Public Works, LED, our economic group. It's a four-hour meeting. We will then come back in a few weeks and we will do system development charges, SDC. It's way too much for one meeting. You cannot do this in an hour. If you're nervous and your attention span's an hour, stay home. Because all you're gonna do is be dangerous. It's a public meeting, but it's not, we'll have some hearings later and we'll have, but certainly anyone can attend this. I think it's fascinating because it really teaches you how complex this is. There's no easy answers, and the council doesn't get to borrow like the federal government. We have to balance everything. It's our fiduciary responsibility to make sure the system is funded. We got to make sure there's water and pipes and the money to do those things 10 years from now. And that's really your job. And these are the tough jobs. And Ben has just faced it. And they're in the process of that, where they're seeing breweries seeing, we heard yesterday, 500% increases in sewer or water rates. But someone else is going to save money. Schutz Brewery's probably not picking up and leaving town. Those are all the interesting debates ahead. Sisters did this a couple years ago. So I hope you'll all join us with your thinking cap, your cell phones off, and learn. Because you're going to have to articulate. It'll be the toughest decisions the council has ever made. Because it involves changes in how much people pay, and who pays. And you're not going to have a list to go through picking out, so it's going to be categories. And you won't know, is my neighbor losing or winning? You will know that later when they ask you over for dinner. But that leads us in to what Brad just handed out.
Yeah. That all sounds terrible, but that's not us. This last page I handed out, the Infrastructure Finance Authority is a state of Oregon agency that provides several funding programs. There's other funding, federal government, rural development and things, but IFA, the Infrastructure Finance Authority, publishes this data on all the cities, and I took the page that has Lapine on it and highlighted it green. And the key on that page is go over to the fourth column from the right, and that column shows a rate, and it has $30.15. Now that is what the Infrastructure Finance Authority says the City of LaPine users can afford to get to a threshold to become eligible for grant funds. There are some programs you may be eligible for, some you may not. LaPine currently is in a great situation. You're eligible for a community development block grant, which is a significantly large grant. That criteria changes every year, but currently you're eligible, and with the numbers that were in the most recent survey, you'll probably continue to be eligible. It's based on income. So just so I'm clear, you have to get your water or sewer rate, depending on which program you're after, to $30 to qualify for the grant funds. Now, the block grant program has a $2 to $3 million limit per utility, and so you could potentially get that grant for potential improvements on a water or a sewer system. It's competitive. A lot of people go after it. They have to be block grant eligible, of course, and that's not all the cities are. Now, real quick on your water rate situation. Currently, your water rates for the volume that they require, you have 27 and some odd cents for 3,600 gallons, but they base it on 7,500 gallons of use, and you're in the mid-30s for that. So you're past that criteria, so you already qualify for the grant for your water side. Sewer rates, I think, are in the $24 range, so you're below it. You would have to raise your rates to 30 or more, to which would include a loan or some nature to do that to qualify for the grant. What I'm trying to tell you is you're in a good funding situation to get grants for infrastructure improvements. And again, you got to apply and compete, and you know there's always the process of trying to go secure them, but a lot of cities are not in as good of a situation as you for funding assistance for potential grants and low interest loans. So that'll all be in the study, actually.
So you have to have the rate above that number when you apply, or can you say you're doing that a month down the road?
The second one. Yeah, and in reality, the way all these funding programs work is if you get a loan, let's say you got a $500,000 loan, or just picking a number, your first payment is due 1 year after the end of your construction project, so you really only need to have your rates in place by the end of construction. So if it takes a couple years to design it, bid it, build it, if you had to do a $6 rate increase, you've got 2 or 3 years to do it, because your first payment's due 1 year after the end. So it's something that you could do over time and do the
increases.
That
would depend on your funding sources.
Right, yeah. Well, almost all of them are that way. Yeah, you don't have to have the rate in place when you apply. It's you got to say, we will have the rate in place when the time comes. And so, and we'll include all that in the studies, of course, and you'll see that data, but it's just good information. And
does the grant come along before you, in the beginning, or as you move down the road, paying for certain pieces of the improvement?
The latter. Most funding agencies require you to spend your loan first, because obviously you'd spend your grant first and then say we're done and not have a loan. So they make you spend the loan first, then they'll pay for a project with grant funds. And they pay as you go. The grant funds are in a pot there, and you just submit the bills as the construction project goes, and they pay them. So it isn't like all the money comes in and then you have it in your hands. They just pay your bills.
Okay.
So that's how most of them work.
So kind of how this should play out. We'll get that in October.
Right.
And that'll give us our kind of costs. We'll then figure out kind of, okay, based on that, you know, that's kind of the worst case. Then we would start, the next phase of it is you move toward applying for
funding.
And that can take a year or certainly months.
Yeah.
And so say 2015, if you want to broad this, 2015, we will be getting their study.
Yeah.
You'll get it back in October. In November, December, will then takes 2016 is when you apply for money, and you would get grant and loans awarded, or, you know, tell you get it. Then we'd go out and hire someone to do the actual
design
of it. This isn't designing it, but they're out there, then, you know, down where he's busy, and they're figuring out, you know, all the details, and then it gets bid. That probably takes 2017.
Yeah.
And you build it in 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, it brought here. But yeah, that's how many years, as I've said, it's a 5-year deal. Right. We might get it out in 4 because the times we're doing it now. But that's the reality, is you wouldn't see a sewer or water line out in Cable or Glenwood Acres probably till 2020, could be 2019, but it's a ways out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of times you'll turn these applications in and you won't hear back for 5, 6, 7 months. You know, from the agencies, they've got to process it and put you in the pool with everybody else. And so it certainly does take time.
And then the amount of grant funding you get would be, you can come back for another decision. Are we going to move forward based on that high of a loan?
Right.
Because if you get 50% grant, it's one number. But if it's only 10% grant and a whole bunch of loan, you may say, we're going to try it again next year. Yeah. You know, I suppose.
Yeah, based on eligibility and what's out there, because all programs go up and down for what they secure. You know, like rural development gets their money from the federal government, and they every year try to make a budget, and so it's hard to know what's always available. And then, but the key that with Rick mentioning that, you had asked about rates. Well, obviously, if it takes 3 to 4 to 5 years to do this, you have that long to get your rates up. You know, you can go up just a little bit every year, or wait till the end and up them. So it gives you time, which makes it a lot more palatable for your users.
Yeah, but it's important to point out, we have to deal with other construction and other things unrelated to this. I mean, if you just forgot Cagle, we have other things that we need to do in a system. Yeah. And so don't think that, you know, if you don't do Cagle, that then there's no construction over the next decade, because there is things.
Other things to fix, yeah.
Rick, will we'll still go into a rate change, right?
Yeah. Well, when we do our rate study, yes, next July 1. So when we do our rate hearing or meetings, you're here in a couple weeks. That then, you know, what I would guess is come March, we will adopt, maybe April, but somewhere in there we will adopt a new rate schedule starting for July 1. You want to give people 30, 60 days notice, you know, for those who are happy or sad. So you know, we can watch. Okay. You may decide to, you know, I mean, ultimately this is a council decision, and that's one. Scott and I, we just go sit in the back of the room and let you hold your hearing, because you're going to have the professionals giving you the information, you know. And one thing about numbers, they're numbers. So, you know, it's kind of like if you're going to spend $1 million building a line, there's no way to say, well, we're just going to do it. We're only going to charge enough to pay for half of it. Well, which means you build half of it. I mean, so that's really, I mean, there isn't a lot of, but the I guess who pays always is more political. And that's where you got to raise enough to pay the $1 million, but is Kitty paying or are the Mullinexes paying?
Or is Grandma paying?
Well, Grandma always pays. because there's no free. Now you could say, well, we're just not going to build that line, and we're going to let the system get old, and you're going to let your great grandkids worry about it. Because when you get these kind of expenses, and one of the things we talked about yesterday, the water district has frozen rates for 14 years, and anyone, even if you can be the most conservative Tea Party person sitting in the room, what has froze for 14 years? Well, nothing. So it just won't work. I think you all know mathematically. Health insurance, where has it gone in 14 years? You know, you can just go down the line. It just doesn't work. Pipes.
Yeah.
What are contract? Not. Don't worry about what government people charge. What is a private, Republican, for-profit person charging to dig a ditch? A lot more today than 14 years ago. And what's the pipe you're putting in? Probably double.
Right.
So the reality is it's going to cost some money. And when you freeze it like that, if you've been adding a 1% or a pair, you know, whatever, you know, so what happens if you skip 14 years and you only add a percent or two a year, you've got 15 to 25% increase when you wait that many years. That's
absolutely. A lot of cities will institute, irregardless, that's actually not a word, regardless of any other rate increases for projects, they'll actually institute a consumer price index increase every year, so they'll tie it to inflation, and at least your rates go up enough every year to cover your own costs. so you don't go backwards with your water and sewer departments. So that's pretty common too, which helps address what Rick's talking about.
And we know that the DEQ wants us to deal with the nitrate issue. They've studied that here for years. Tony knows it well. Everyone's debated it for a lot of years down here, for over a decade, and you've had a lot of issues here with all of that, and it's all tied into this.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, that will be 2 weeks. And
Okay. Yeah, and that's all we had on the water and sewer studies, and just wanted to thank the council for the opportunity, and looking forward to working with you.
Well, Brad, on behalf of the council, I find this interesting, like Rick talks about, and it is it's really getting into what cities do,
yeah,
and councils have to deal with, and I think it's a great challenge for the council to start moving forward, and we have a great public works department or committee, and I know they'll bring recommendations to us and that, but you've been very helpful, and let's get going.
Okay, thank you.
So when we get to our additional agenda items, you can approve the contract to get him started, even when he started.
We can do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Item number 9 is a funding request and presentation by the Lapine Rodeo Association, and if you'll join us up here. Or...
Well, good evening. I'm Candy Yao, president of the Lapine Rodeo Association, and we are here tonight with some pretty exciting things that we've been working on. What our 2015 Queen Shelby Brinkley is handing out is something that we've been working on for almost a year that we hope to do not only to benefit Lapine Rodeo but the city of Lapine this year. On Thursday, July 2nd, as a kickoff party, we are bringing in Chris Cagle, a Nashville recording artist, and you can read all the exciting stuff about him right there, but it might be one of the biggest things that's ever happened in the city of Lapine. We are expecting between 2,000 and 2,500 people. He's a big name, he's huge, like I said, you can read all about it, and we're super excited to do it for us. Obviously, we're in hopes that we can grow and do all the improvements and have our rodeo grow the way that we've been working on it. But just think about how that can affect the city of Lapine if we bring in that many people, not for one night, not just for a concert, but if we advertise this right and we continue to do this every year, this could be a 4th of July getaway for people all over the state of Oregon. So we're pretty excited about it. We actually just found out and got confirmed today, so we're super excited about it. Go ahead, Des.
I'm Desiree Russell, the treasurer for the association, and this is my second year on the board, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of this team. I mean, we had a board meeting last night, and it's great. We're a family already, and we've got three or four new members. We've got all of our board positions filled now, and we have a lot to offer with our full board now, and just everybody's excited to work together and to do this for our community, so we're excited to move forward.
I'm Melvin Emmert, I'm the vice president, and I'm just here for my good looks.
We appreciate that.
No, now you know why Shelby's here.
I'm just here to accent him. So, hello everybody, I'm the 2015 Lapine Rodeo Queen Shelby Brinkley. I had the opportunity to kind of walk around and meet with you guys. All I can say is I'm so excited for this year to get started. Lapine is a great community, and I'm so blessed and so thankful that I can be a part of it this year. Mainly, I just kind of want to start off with coming up really soon, February, is my coronation. And I'd like to invite everybody to come. It's going to be February 7th at the American Legion Hall here in Lapine. So I'd love to see y'all there. this for you guys. And then another thing that I want to talk about is our fair and rodeo. The rodeo. So I used to say I'm a fair winner, I guess. We just have one in Deschutes County, so I can be excited about that too, right? But I just want to invite you guys to our rodeo. It's going to be the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th of July here in La Pine. And I'm just so excited for everything to get started. I can't wait. This summer is going to be a blast, and I get to be around some fantastic people and get to look at Melvin. It's just the best thing.
So Thursday night will be our concert, and then Friday night is our own bull riding event, and then Saturday and Sunday are the NPRA, which is the National Pro Rodeo Association sanctioned rodeo events. So it'll be a full 4 days.
So really part of your plan, if I can interject here, is to do this in the beginning, which will bring people in and they'll stay.
That's our plan. Okay. That's our hope, yes. Okay.
We want to fill the motels, build the restaurants, get people spending money in our area. We also want them to find out what our area is about and come back to visit us again later on, too.
When we first came up with this idea, one of the gentlemen I'm working with grew up in Burns, and he now works for one of the top agencies in Nashville. And he said, we'll back you, we'll do everything in the world to make this happen. But he says, I've tried it like 10 times in the city of Burns and it never flew. Well, that to me is a challenge. So one of the ways that we're handling this is we're not going out after 100 sponsors. We're not. We're going out after 4 to 6 top sponsors that will get a lot of publicity. You know, we can have smaller ones too as we need. We're going to need vehicles to get them back and forth and all sorts of other things. But our goal is to bring attention to the main sponsors that help us put this on. We're hoping to go into this concert completely sponsored so that any profit that we make, we can start putting up new bleachers. Our bleachers are not very safe no matter how much we rebuild them. We're having to rent our catch pens still every year. We made huge steps of improvement last year, but we've got a long ways to go. And I really believe we have the board to do it, and I really think this will kick this off. So,
well, if this gets sponsored fully and you come out of it profitably, which sounds like it would if it's sponsored, will you take some of those funds to help you put on the one next year? Will that be part of what you do? To get this thing rolling?
Yes, sir. That's our plan. We'd like to make this a yearly event. I mean, if you look at the Oregon Jamboree, it's not any bigger than the city of La Pine, and look at how huge that's going. I'm not saying that that's what we have in even our 10-year plan. What I'm saying is I believe it's possible to have one every single year and bring in thousands of people to not only enjoy the rodeo and the concert, but this great community that we live in.
Okay. Council, any questions?
I'm understanding they want $5,000, right? Is that the
yes.
That's,
that's
the
correct.
Request?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
They forgot that part.
We did forget that part. I mean, if you wanted to do 20, that'd be fine too.
I think I can put in a few words what I see the council concerned with is. It comes down to how much money we've really got available, and you know, we're in a budget type situation, so that'll be a big piece of the consideration for each one of the counselors. Mm-hmm. So
was this a $5,000 including the $2,500 or additional?
This is additional.
Okay. So as I think all of you have a document that breaks down the monies that we've already allocated this year and what is available.
Ashley put that together, I believe.
Yeah.
So and she can explain that. Yeah.
If you need explaining.
I misspoke.
Will. The audience needs explaining.
Okay, we have $3,250 left in our restricted TRT funds, which can only be used for tourist type events. We have $250 left in our unrestricted funds. I don't have it in front of me, sorry.
which wouldn't really qualify for that. So we don't have $5,000 this budget year. We do have $3,250. I wouldn't recommend you guys expend the entire budget. As much as I would love to see you expend the entire budget on this, I wouldn't recommend that. We do start a new budget year on July 1, though. So that's my proof is on that.
Okay, thank you. Any suggestions, city manager?
I think, I think it's a kind of a two-part question, but they kind of flow together. One, you decide, do you want to support it? And then you figure out the dollar figure. And then you tell us to figure out how we find it, and then if that can be done. Okay. So it's kind of, if you don't want to do it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We do. And Ashley and I have talked about that a little. Because we cross over July 1, the events, of course, a couple days later, but you're spending next year's money, but that, that happens if you understand you don't have $5,000 the following year to give, So there are ways, I guess, financially, we can, if you tell me you want to do it at whatever number, we can make it work just because of we give them some money now and hold some over. So,
with that, I'd ask the council: is there a consensus that we would are comfortable in supporting this?
The concept
of
financial.
No, supporting the request or supporting financially supporting this this request
within our budget.
Well, no, I'm just saying that do we have a consensus that we do want to support it? The next part, if we get that yes,
that's what I'm getting.
In the next part, we will go to talking about money.
Totally support it.
Okay, so we have a consensus that council is in favor of supporting this effort.
Well, you got past the first.
So now we look at money, and I'll just sort of lay this out and as I see it. As could be a possibility. We've got $3,250. We sure don't want to, I'm sort of supposing here for the council, we don't want to take that down to zero. I think a way of getting to the $5,000 would be that we take $2,500 of this and commit that. And then come 1 July, we put in the budget, and 1 July that we come up with the other $2,500. And I'll point out to the council that in reading this request, it was a one-time request. It's stated in the agreement that they're just coming for a one-time request.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not an this is not an ongoing request. Okay? So, that's just how I wanted to lay it out for you to think about. So I will ask. And then we can have discussion around that. Are we in favor of supporting this in a fashion like I've just described? And we can let the city manager and the staff work it out?
Okay. Just to help, if you dig me to feel better, I think, but we'll know more in a month or two, or a month actually, but we guess how much we're going to carry forward. See, we're working on next year's budget, so we guess all these things. And we carry over several thousand more dollars into the fund. So when we say, that's transit room tax in total. So we've committed X to the chamber, and we've committed to the rodeo, we've committed to Frontier Days and other things. And that came to a certain dollar figure. Well, in there is what I guessed was our carryover from the year before, and we may have $10,000 to $20,000 more dollars coming in there. So when I do the budget this year, if we spend what we say we're going to spend, we'll actually have another $20,000, which will then make next year's carryover that much higher. So if you decide to take $2,500 out of next year after July 1, you probably have more money to spend next year than you did this year. And the reality is because you have a new motel that added 20 rooms, mm-hmm. paying transient room tax. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know that when we put this together a year ago because he hadn't said he was going to build it. So that's additional revenue that was never anticipated. So the transient room tax fund will have more revenue, most likely. Now, we could have an earthquake tomorrow, so I'm just saying. But it theoretically, you know, you're not going to probably be shorting things if you wanted to do that.
Okay.
That's
all right. Any...
Would it make a difference if we went like 2,000 this year and did 3,000 next year, giving us that 500 extra to hold over?
Well, we're actually, you're going to hold $750 over here.
She was thinking they'll add another 500.
She would rather hold the 1,250. Yeah. For people, is that what I'm understanding? For throughout the rest of the year,
yes.
Then you'd have a little bit more yes. room to play in that 1250 area instead of 750.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean that work. The only thing, if the less they have is less cash flow. I don't know how you have to prepay part of that or all of
yes.
it or
yes.
that's okay. because they're going to have to pay that Mr. Gage ahead of that. So or mm-hmm. at least a lot of it.
That's correct.
So the cash flow issue comes up, but. Yeah, we can make it work.
Okay. Any comments?
I feel comfortable with the $2,000. I don't feel comfortable with not knowing what we actually have, even though Rick says we're probably going to have more money. Probably. I don't like taking and spending money we don't have, even though it's coming in probably. That's my problem.
I think I'll say something and turn it back to Rick. I think it's a given that we're going to have at least what we had this year, and that amount of money would have probably been some of that going to the rodeo anyway. I mean, as a normal piece that we gave, you know, this year. So there's the $2,500.
That's one. I mean, you look. What you do is if when we do our budget in April, if our numbers aren't coming in, you just when they come in and ask for their money for the following year, you just you can take that into consideration at that time. You know, so you know you.
Fair enough. My thought on it is just probably a good investment just for LaPine. Bring an event here that people will come back next year and the year after. If they see that it's successful and this gets off to a great start, then yeah. I think it would be a positive thing for the city.
Conrad?
I think the more people, the better as far as things go. I don't really know how the whole number scheme works, but hearing what the city manager has to say, it sounds like it can work out. I kind of like what she was saying about giving less this year, just because it makes me feel more comfortable when other groups come through asking for money. Because then, if we have it there, we can decide then. But if we don't have it, there's nothing we can decide. And so, like we got back to, it kind of depends on how much they need now. And so that's something we have to figure out and balance. But I like the idea of having more in there for future requests.
Stu?
Well, I think everyone knows, I don't like surprises. And I know this has been planned and been in the works for a while, but coming and expecting the decision tonight, you know, worries me. Because we do know what's in here right now. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the following day. Like what's been mentioned, you know, the city doesn't know what's going to happen. We may have a major water break tomorrow. And we're going to need to repair the water break. Where are we going to get the money for that if we give it away tonight? And we've already budgeted money for the rodeo. I'm all in favor of it. I love the 4th of July. I go out there every single year and, you know, enjoy myself because it is a great show. And it's great people out there. And I think starting with our next budget, we need to put the message out there that, yeah, we're a city, we're willing to help, but we're also not the Federal Reserve. We just heard a report of our, you know, expanding our water system. We have to go out to get money for that. You know, we have to come up with matching money for grants. You know, if we're out spending, yeah, I'm just a little concerned, but I guess I'd support it. I'm just concerned that we can't let everybody walk in here, and it's not just the rodeo. It just happened you folks have showed up tonight, but other groups that just think they come in the door and ask for money. I think we as a city need to put the word out that, and we've done it before, there is a process that has to be done. It needs to be done at the beginning of our budget. But I'm willing to support it because I like it. And I'm just gonna take a cocktail right now.
I'd just like to clarify one thing for the counselor. This money has nothing to do with sewer and water. The sewer and water has their own funds and everything. This money is in an unrestricted TRT fund, and so we don't have to worry about that kind of money.
And very clear, I was speaking in general.
I'd go to one other issue too. I, having been in business and a lot of other things, I've had situations that come up at the last minute that was a good deal and had to find a way of making something happen. I don't think a growing new city like this can plan a year ahead of time that what's going to come up. Some great opportunity can come up for an absolutely well-founded idea that will bring gangs of dollars into the businesses in this town. And we're elected by the people that run, work, and are at those businesses. And I'm not a bit concerned about somebody coming along and asking the council at any given time, here we've got something and we'd like for you to consider. So that part. Seeing that the council is in consensus, I'll ask for a motion for $2,000 right now and a follow-on of $3,000 at 1 July.
I so move.
It's been moved.
Second.
And seconded. All those, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
I really believe that this will be very good for you guys' community, and having a big like star like this come in, it's going to help you guys so much.
I'll give you an example. Right out of the gate, almost a start from the get-go, this community went out and put together a crab feed. Mm-hmm. One of the most popular events, they come from all over the state to come to the crab feed right here in Lapine. And they keep increasing the number of people. That was just a mm-hmm. And look at the money it brings into town.
Right.
Wow, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, right, we get out of here early tonight. So we've inserted the agreement for Perry Anderson Engineering at this point, and we also...
You actually approved me to sign it, but you're here, you sign it, it's $45,000 contract, we put in $5,000, the rest is grant. You've got the timeline, so this is just the agreement, so if you just want to formally approve it.
Is there a motion to approve the Perry Anderson Engineering funding?
So
contract.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. And at this time, I would also like to go to the other insertion in other matters, and that's Bill and KITC and KNCP Radio.
Thank you, Mayor. I am Bill Scally from KITC FM and the new KNCP, which stands for Newberry Country, of which everybody is going to be part of that. I would like to present this plaque as a charter member of KNCP 107.3 Community Radio. Thank you very much for the support of the city. We would like to invite you on February 14th at 2 o'clock at the Lapine Chamber. We're going to have our official on-air date. We would love to have you attend, see the studio, and listen to the signal come from the top of Finley Butte. We have secured that with the Russells. They've been very kind in donating the place up there for us. And so we'll be placing the transmitter antenna up there. As soon as it comes in, all the equipment is ordered, and we'll be on the air by the 14th of February. And we'll be ready to help the city of Lapine advertise. You guys will be right up there. We'll get all of you on the radio in one form or another, and we'll be ready to advertise whatever the city wants to say. Thank you so much for your support. Yes?
Was it 2 o'clock you said?
2 o'clock, February 14th, Lapine Chamber.
We'll make sure that Patty sends out a reminder. She's going to put this in her checkler file now so that she'll have that ready for you.
Well, I want to thank you very much for your very generous presentation of a plaque for us as charter members, and we'll take you up on it, I'm sure.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, councilors.
Any comments, other councilors? Hearing none, we can move on to...
Thank you.
Public comment.
Okay, red button, right? Kitty Shields, 51540 Shields Drive. You guys are used to me coming up here and making positive comments because this has been my town or my home base for the past 64 years. This one's a little bit different, but nothing earth-shattering. it's about the street lights. Specifically the street lights in front of City Hall. And of course we all anticipated those going in and everything, and I looked forward the first time that I would see them on, and then I forgot about it when I was out in the at night and forgot to look, and so I was pulling out onto Highway 97 looking both ways, and I looked down here and I go, what on earth is that? And here's this, you know, it looks like somebody just put up a huge filling station or something in the sky, or I don't know. I thought, my gosh, those lights, to me, they're garish, harsh, too bright, cold, even uninviting. They don't have the same ambience as the more amber-colored lights, like the first ones that went in down Huntington, and like the ones that a lot of the businesses have in their yards and such. And so I just wanted to put my word in, maybe for the, if you guys haven't paid that much attention or whatever, or haven't thought about it that much, you might want to give them another look and kind of see what kind of a feel they give you. And when we do future lighting, you know, maybe look at it in a different way. I went out after last month's meeting when it was mentioned that the lights were up at the senior center and did some more driving around at night and just made a relaxed comparison again to see how I really felt about them. And it still comes back to me that I don't like the bright white light. It's just too stark to me, and again, I think it takes away the warmth of our community. And you can see just as well with the softer amber-colored lights. And in fact, when I'm driving down the areas with the amber-colored lights, I kind of feel like I can see better. They're easier on the eyes as a driver. So, you know, if Granny's going to trip on a rock and stumble out into the street, I think I'm going to see her sooner than with the brighter colored lights. So I just wanted to throw that in there and ask if counselors, the people who are making the decisions and public works and everything, if you might pay a little more attention to that and see what your own personal feeling is on those. So, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Gideon. Mm-hmm. Any further public comments? Hearing none, staff comments?
We're going to be starting our budget process soon, so actually in February we'll appoint the budget officer and Patty looking into who's budget, who's coming off the budget board, things like that. So we're starting that, thinking probably late February or something we can do a little couple 3 hour kind of goal setting type thing we've done before, to see where we are in the budget, what priorities we have for the following year over the next 18 months, that type of thing. I'm trying to start a month earlier just to kind of.
When in February?
Well, yeah,
somewhere in February.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see when you're not on a vacation. ODOT, I met with them. Eric Terry's got a new assistant. Eric, what's your new assistant's? He's got a new guy working for him.
This is Jose. Jose's a recent graduate from Oregon State. He's a master's degree in civil engineering from Oregon State. He's worked for me.
So Eric's got everything pretty well. You know, he gave a report yesterday to Public Works, so that project's bid. They're going to start here in a couple weeks. They're doing utility work now, which is pretty good. The contractor will probably get started in the next few weeks, certainly by March 1st, but maybe ahead of that. And they'll then work on it through the summer and be done sometime in August. That's kind of the plan. And we've got some cost estimates on the landscaping and all the lights and all of that. So certainly something we can look at to look at, you know, what is the wattage in those. You know, there's lots of different categories. Sisters put in the lights, and if you read the bulletin, that some of the people thought they were too bright. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't shield enough. Part of it is when you take something dark and add a light, it seems brighter than if everything else is lit. And when you get into the towns that don't have a lot of lights, I think they stand out more. Mm-hmm. So it could be that we could look at, you know, the next size down in wattage kind of type thing that still gives a light and bright, but maybe not the glare as much. That's something we can look at, because that's a bulb issue. It's not the structure. The other thing is these are a little higher. I thought that about 4 or 5 feet lower, because these are more for pedestrian. And so if you brought the wattage down and then lowered them, because they're not designed to light up the truck on the highway. I mean, they got their headlights and they're going through. So that's why we did this, was an experiment. And I have looked at some of the other, these are called Acorn, is the technical name of the bulb, or the thing on top. But the other Acorns in Redmond and Madras are a little fatter, but not so tall and skinny. And then the poles are lower. And all of those make a difference. So I think that's something, Eric, we can look at before we go over to bid that project, with maybe lower and look at that bulb and some of that, if that's something.
I think it's a good point, just in the fact that the little discussion that you and I had about the height, you know, and they're very, you know, you get a light up and you look for a sort of a good sized bulb, and all of a sudden all you got's a little Christmas tree light up on top of it, and it's bright. So Kitty's comments on the brightness to me is well taken, and the fact that they're too tall. They're decorative lights. They cover a sidewalk that's probably not going to get used for the next 100 years. But being lower, I think, would be another piece of what's wrong with the lights. So. But I agree.
But I'm trying to just get some grant funding from ODA. I got sent them a letter, and I met with Gary Farnsworth and the project manager on this and last week in Bend. So we're going to try to get some money from them. Hopefully we get something. They say they're broke, but they always are. Don't worry about that. Let's see. Oh, I put the little flyer to the City Day at the Capitol is at the end of February. There's a Mayor's Day also. I don't know, when is that?
That's on the 26th of February. It's actually called
City Day at the Capitol.
There's two events.
Right.
But one is they've gone away from the Mayor's Day.
Also, it's City Day. So, we'll have a cocoa maybe.
Right. There's a City's Day for everybody at the city level.
Okay.
And then there's a cocoa day where
Central Oregon cities. So let us know if you want to go. Any of you would like to go over there for that. You know, it'd be nice to have a couple, three of you there, and we'll get you a room and stuff. And Ashley and Patty will set that up. And go to the Capitol and run around there. It's kind of fun. And you get to meet folks. We can talk about our issues, and we'll talk to our legislators and set up meetings and a few side meetings and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good event. So basically, let us know if you want to go do that. And the rate study, how many of you can come down? And I'm teasing, you say if I have to be there for 4 hours, it'd be nice if you are, but if you can only stay an hour or two, it's okay. But we would like to get you there. So were most of you going to be able to attend that day?
Yes, I can.
All of you? Good job. Okay, Scott will be there. We're going to have the two public works guys there too, because they want them to understand, because they'll get questions down the road.
Any food?
Oh, yes, we'll have snacks. It's at 1:30. You'll be fed when you get here.
You got fed yesterday.
We did have that yesterday. Let's see. BioGreen, I'm meeting with BioGreen tomorrow early. They're coming down, and we'll be discussing their agreement expires in the end of January over here on the purchases. Kind of lease agreement. They had a 6-month extension, and that was done. And we sent them a kind of a list of items that they needed to work on back at the end of December. And then he called me last week and said, "Hey, we want to come up and meet you." And they're bringing their finance guy and things. So that's kind of ongoing. The county keeps emailing me, wanting to know how that's playing out, because it's ultimately they're the ones that would have to grant the extensions. So I don't know where that's going to go. You know, it's either going to that purchase agreement will expire, or we'll get another, maybe a 90-day extension. But my line has kind of been that if we're going to extend it again for 90 days, we need to have some definite kind of things that need to be done in that. To just keep extending it isn't where we want to go. So, you know, some work and effort is going to have to go into that. And they want to talk. They've got some new ideas, and they didn't share them on the phone to me. So, see what that is. And then medical marijuana will be taken up the Planning Commission. Next week they'll be working on the zone change for the property that Gordy's family has across the school. So we've taken that up for zone change, and then that will ultimately come here in a hearing. But the Planning Commission will be having a hearing on Wednesday for the first time with this kind of new planner and the new group. And Doug and all of them will be here, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to roll. And then we'll also move into starting the medical marijuana. Kind of the rules and things on that. And so tonight, Bill, our planner, and I spent an hour working on some of those rules and draft that Jeremy had sent out. And a lot of work's going to have to go into all that. So they'll spend a couple months, probably 2 or 3 months working on it. Probably by March they need to be done, and then it would roll in here. Well, actually, they need to be done in February. We need to do our thing in March, because May 1st is when the medical marijuana rules go away. The current ban goes away. So if you don't have anything in place, the ban doesn't just keep going. So we'll have to have our rules in place. And with the now recreational, but no one has rules for that yet. So it's going to be, you know, interesting as we kind of figure these out. So that's kind of the updates.
Rick, isn't there something, and if I missed it, I'm sorry, about the, there's going to be some kind of small groundbreaking ceremony?
We haven't set that yet, but okay. There will be. We're talking about First Street. We're talking about doing kind of a, I don't think we're going to do the gold shovel thing, you know, but they're going to have ODOT, and since their yard's right there, we'll use their office and but come out and let people have kind of a kickoff with the contractor. I don't know what they plan yet. But there'll be something coming up, and when the contractor's supposed to tell us when he wanted to get started, and that he hasn't said yet. So, but that'll be sometime a month, 6 weeks. I mean, they might start a few days ahead of us. That's why we don't want. We're not going to tell them to delay a week because we're not out there with our gold shovel. yes. We will do.
Get a backhoe, as Stu just said, and paint it gold, us do.
Yeah, it's one big scoop.
And then we continue to work always on code enforcement. You saw, I sent you a couple. We sent out three letters. You know, one guy, Scott, went out and delivered one to it's a rental house, and the guy called me quickly. Usually when they call quick, it's because usually, well, what's happened so far in the past, it's the wife or the female in the house gets he delivers it to. Then I get the boyfriend or the husband on the cell phone. She calls him at work, then he calls, and it's interesting. But in this case, it was really good. The guy says, you know, I was wondering when someone would call me. I got a lot of junk out here. And he says, yeah, some of it's garbage, a lot of it. And he said, I'll be hauling it off this next week, and you just made me do it. You know, so you know, we'll continue working on those. And I did turn over one more to the county, and they're going to take one on over on railroad. So I got two of them that the county's working on railroad. That's a little tougher street for a lot of reasons. And then Scott is, we're putting up barricades at the end of Cato Road so that we can stop the people that are running down the railroad right of way. Is a place where people move from Wickiup up Junction. And if you stayed on the right of way legally, technically you'd go clear down to Pine
Crest,
which is. Is that a mile or two?
Oh, a good mile.
Or, you know, but what happens is when they come off on the Cagle, that's the only road they can actually come onto. And then they can loop down in there and run down to the bar or the restaurant. Or the cops have had some loops in there with people bond and in hot pursuit. So we are blocking off Cagle because Cagle dead ends. There's no legal reason to go beyond that. So now if they get onto that thing, they're going clear out into the county. And this was at the request of the neighbors there, and I went out and met with them, and Scott's went out and you've got some concrete coming.
Yeah.
Cost us $45 for each one. So all put our yellow things on them and a dead end sign, and so people will have some surprises. That's it.
I have some staff report.
Council comments?
I have staff report.
Go ahead.
No.
I'm done.
I have no accounts coming up. Just like always, I'd like to remind everyone that I'm coming close to an end, so I want to talk with you about the possibility of bringing a new trainee, something you want to continue with the high school, having that relationship. So that's something we can talk about, but I know there's 5 months of graduation, so that's five more monthly meetings, and that goes pretty quick. So I'm not trying to surprise you guys, so I'll remind you every meeting I get a chance to.
Thank you, Conrad. Stu?
Nope.
Nope.
Just want to let everybody know, I believe it's February 5th, the small cities will have their annual meeting in Redmond. And there will be some training courses available, and they will be free this time, so the city won't have to pay for them. Yeah, it's only for elected officials, though. There's, you know, not just anybody can go. But I believe that's because I will check that. And
the meeting, because they're having a meeting after it, right?
Yes. It's in the afternoon. I didn't bring the paperwork with me, that so so I told them that I just wanted to get. I also want to bring to everybody's attention, if you haven't heard, that Habitat for Humanity was robbed last night. Three snowmobiles, or snow blowers. And I just wanted everybody to get the word out. You know, if someone's trying to sell a snow blower, get a hold of Rolando and or the sheriff, because they have them on film.
The trailer?
No, they broke into the business and stole three snowblowers out of
the yard.
Yeah, the yard. So, you know, it's not the kind of thing we want to have going on Old Pine. And if the word gets out, maybe they won't be so successful at trying to sell them to somebody or whatever.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. Kathy?
No, I'm good.
Karen?
I attended a meeting last night for the Park District, and they're talking about a levy. They moved all the way from 30 cents a thousand to 60 cents a thousand. That's about all that came out of the meeting that was pertaining to the city. So I just thought I'd share that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's a, well, I mean, that's a proposal. They haven't decided yet, I'm assuming.
Pardon?
But right. That, did you attend?
No, but I had an email from someone else, a question on, so I just want to get it clear. That's a proposal that they're thinking. They have not.
Sounded pretty firm to me.
No. There was not a board vote on that last night. Yeah. They're just talking about it.
So probably, would that probably be a May? Were they thinking about May?
It's May. I've heard them talking about May.
So they'll have to decide next month because they get it on the ballot. They'll have to know by the 1st of March. Mm-hmm.
For the mayor's comments, all I have is I encourage you to go to the city days at the Capitol. The first time I went, it was a real eye-opener and a learning experience. You get to set up appointments with all your elected officials, and it's great to go in there and sit down. They pay attention to you. They listen to your comments and your thoughts, and you get to meet a lot of the legislators. You get to sit in the galleries and listen to both the Senate and the House. It's a real rewarding experience, and enlightening and educational. So I encourage all of you to go. And
there will be a bill. I mean, there's a specific bill. To allow South County to have cluster septic systems, things outside UGB, but I don't think they're doing it as a bill. They're going to do it through the commission.
Okay. But you can talk to them about any number of things.
Well, like transportation funding. The second thing is starting to understand that we're going to need funding for the Kegel expansion and things. If the nitrate and the sewer issues are important, we need some grant funding to make that happen. And that, not that they're going to give it out, but you just kind of start squeaking.
And you spread the word everywhere. So, I had another thought, but I'll let that go. So I have nothing else, and we will...
We'll meet in 2 weeks. We're going to be here for the work session. Remember, that's our law enforcement night, kind of call it. Fire-wise... For the first 45 minutes, second 45, or whatever it takes, would be emergency management coordinator from the sheriff's office. So we'll sit around a table, coming in looking for emergency stuff, fires, and floods, and all that kind of stuff.
How about concerts?
Well, concerts you did already.
I wondered what kind of control they were going to have. But I didn't ask.
Oh, at their event.
I think you can ask them that next time they come.
Or call
them. That's a good question.
That's a valid question.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.